Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, chickpeas. Great show planned for you today. We start out with a deep dive into gay loving and Little Rocket Man talk. Not a little Rocket Man like North Korea, but regular Rocket Man like Elton John. We'll do a Baldywood. So much to get into. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. There's an alert, Social Security imposter scam. Scammers spoof your caller ID, making it look like the Social Security Administration is calling you. Then they say your Social Security number has been suspended because of suspicious activity. And then they say it was used in a crime. Now you're screwed. They steal your information. Let's not let this happen to you. There's so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. And when your personal information's exposed, and it's out there on every record that's on the computer, you need LifeLock. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but there won't be a problem because you got LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the Sklar Brothers. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a review of Rocket Man in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, he's not the man they think he is at home. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on the end. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Gay bad.
Well, you're not going to like Rocket Man, then.
I was thinking
There's
about...
There's a reason they call him the Rocket Man.
I was thinking about that scene you're talking about, and we got the review coming up.
What scene was I talking about? Oh, the lovemaking scene. Yeah,
The ongoing 5 minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
Extended.
Director's cut.
Dance mix.
Director's uncut.
LifeLock.com, enter Adam, and MVMT.com/Adam, TommyJohn.com/Adam, and Geico.com, all brought this half of the show. I was thinking about that. It was something I said on Loveline many years ago, and we're now in a time where everything's is an attack, and everyone's homophobic, and everyone's xenophobic, and everyone's Islamophobic, and everyone's phobic.
Everyone here. You have to work here to be.
Right, yeah. Specific.
But I've told you guys, gay depictions are difficult for men to watch. Very difficult for straight men to watch. Don't know why, but it's a universal. It is 100% universal, regardless of how progressive you are or what party you vote for or who your parents were or whether you grew up in Arkansas or Berkeley. If you're straight, it's difficult to watch men being sexual. That's how all straight guys are. It's not about being uptight. It's a function of being a straight guy. But there's other things like most straight guys don't want to see. And like, I when my kids were born, I didn't really want to be in the birthing room.
No, I wouldn't want to be there either.
No, right. But gay depictions of gay sex, straight guys, and it's not a societal thing. It's not something that was like, well, yeah, because you live in a hate cauldron and that's what they tell you to do.
Sure.
Now, you'll put your hand up if you see gay guys going at it. Gina, you're giving me a judgment look.
I'm listening to you.
You're giving me I was in theater.
Yeah, that's my resting bitch face.
No. Judgment face.
Is there a guy in this building that is sort of neither here nor there in graphic gay sex, or even guys making out or anything? It's just like, I'll walk in the room, doesn't bother me. Like, I'll leave it on or I'll turn. I have no feelings, or it's neither here nor there.
No, I can say 100% of the guys in this studio feel the same way. And I feel I'm fairly progressive socially. I grew up in the Bay Area. Who you want to love is who you want to love. But if that pops on the screen, I'm like, that's not for me.
That's how guys are.
Yeah. Okay.
So instinctively. Every heterosexual guy is that way. I've talked to Drew.
I'm not consciously thinking like, oh, that's a bad thing.
I talked to Drew about this 20 years ago on Loveline. It's like, yeah, that's dudes. That's how guys, that's built into our fiber. I have said, considering that's in every man's fiber, relatively little gay bashing.
Interesting.
When there's something that's in your fiber that you have a reaction to, like, ugh, make it stop, or I don't want to see that, or get it away from me, bashing is what happens next, usually. A relative.
Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yeah, enjoy. Let that freak flag fly.
It's not a freak flag.
I'm saying it is almost sort of, in a world where all we do is talk about that, the notion that 100% of straight guys are put off by gay sexuality, or at least depictions of it, and there's 0.01% gay bashing, that's not bad.
No,
considering
not a one-to-one.
that's how most every straight guy is. So we're pretty good at live and let live in this country.
Yeah, overall, you're kind of trying to leave everybody alone. You don't want to get into a fist fight. You don't really want to stick around and feast your eyes.
I don't want to make an issue out of it either way.
Okay.
Are you familiar, Adam, with the Kinsey scale?
Hold on.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Emmy and
six.
Matt. Good Matt?
Seven.
Bad Matt. I mean other Matt.
Other Matt.
Emmy and Matt are neither here nor there.
Yeah. Oh, they're Kinsey threes.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Kinsey scale?
I don't know.
1 to 6, I think. Are they 1 to 6?
Do you know what this is, Adam?
Yeah.
Albert Kinsey.
Yeah, but I don't know what the difference between a 1 and a 6
okay,
is.
Okay, so we'll look it up, but because the numbers are the opposite ends of the spectrum, obviously. Kinsey was a famous as the movie with Taken, Liam Neeson. He's a sex expert or scientist, and he theorized that everyone was on the scale somewhere between a 1 and a 6. 1, I think, being super gay, and 6 being super straight.
And, other way around, but yeah.
Oh, it was other way around. Yeah. Okay, 6 being super gay, 1 being super straight, but you know, you might be straight, but you might be a 5, where like gay, or a 4, you know what I mean, where gay sex doesn't bother you as much.
It's
exactly. It's like your tolerance level, or it's basically a scale of, yeah, you're mostly straight, or you're mostly gay.
I love incidentally homosexual.
Yeah. Well, that's, you stop short, you get rear-ended. It's not your fault.
But it does make sense, though, that some guys would have that visceral reaction like you and I have, and some guys would be like, eh, no big deal. Right? You probably fall somewhere on that scale.
Yes, but every guy I've ever spoken to says if they walk into a room and there's graphic gay sex, their hand goes up to block their face. So
also think twice about their life choices.
I haven't
what
run,
bar you just walked into?
I haven't run into a lot of. Yeah, I haven't run into. Yeah, can we just put the playoffs on the set above the bar? But I haven't run into a lot of Emmys or Matts. But I will have to drill down.
No, we don't.
And figure this out. But Emmy, did you have no thoughts about it?
Nope, not at all. If it's a movie, it's just another scene.
Okay, but now let's go beyond that. Let's just say actual graphic gay porn.
I mean, I'm not going to put on some gay porn to watch it, but if there's gay porn on, I won't watch it. If it's in a movie, it's just another scene in a movie.
Hold on. I'm not asking about a movie. I'm asking about gay porn.
No, I'm not going to sit there and watch gay porn.
Would you have feelings about, like, I'll put it to you this way. There are things you can put on my TV set. Things that have to do with an episode of Jeopardy. Or it's just some eagle above Alaska that's looking for a salmon.
It's Planet Earth.
Then there is some hardcore gay sex. When it comes to the eagle or Jeopardy, if my phone rings, I might just keep the TV on and turn the volume down and take my phone call.
Sure.
But if it's graphic gay sex, I'm probably going to reach for something and try to get...
Yeah, you are.
I was talking about one of my twins. How dare you? If it's graphic gay sex, I'm going to try to remove it. I won't just leave it as like, it's just on in the background like an 80s sitcom or something while I'm on the phone.
It does not pass the lasagna test to you.
Right. Emmy, thoughts?
I'm just talking about just sitting down, watching a movie.
Well, hold on. Okay. First off.
I mean, if it's in the background,
please stop putting it in a... All right. Who put it in the context of a movie? I'm saying guys don't like seeing depictions of gay sex. Guys don't like sex. I'm not going to get up and leave the movie either. You're watching a movie. Everyone's watching a movie. Stop saying movie. I keep saying gay sex. It's gay... graphic gay sex. They have gay pornography. They have pornography for gay people now. I'm not talking about two guys hugging in a movie that you're watching. I'm fine with that. But a gay pornography, where are you at with that?
I will not watch gay pornography.
Okay. How was the question phrased to you? Or maybe
you
we don't know
about
anymore.
Gay porn, gay sex scenes in a movie.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
It's not
stuck.
Okay.
If it was gay porn, then yes, I would not watch that.
Okay, Max Zapata or whoever posed the question, it's not in a movie, it's just
he's listening to the show. I just know what he means.
Okay. Okay, listen. Depictions of gay sex, just gay sex. I'm not, of course, I'm going to go see Rocket Man. I'm going to go watch it, and I'm not going to get up and leave during the sex scenes. That's part of the movie.
I mean, you could.
I'm saying I have a theory, which is almost all heterosexual men are put off by visual gay sex. And also, if you walked into that part of a movie and you didn't watch the whole movie, you might change that part of the movie if you just walked in at minute 44 of the movie.
Right.
So Emmy is on board with the gay sex, yes.
Emmy's a little younger, so let me put it to you this way. You're browsing the internet and a pop-up video pops up, an advertisement out of nowhere, and it's two dudes just getting it on. Is the reaction, or is the reaction, oh, it's mildly annoying, where's the escape button or whatever?
I mean, usually when I'm watching porn and I do see a pop-up come up and it's gay porn, mm-hmm. right away I hit the X.
Yeah. All right, right away. All right, is Matt with you too, or are we still in this thing where we're at the Directors Guild and the two guys start making out? Will you hit them with a chair? I'm just saying guys don't like the visual of gay sex.
Yeah, I click off on the pop-up ads.
You do.
Now that you've clarified it further. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But to be fair, if I'm on a phone call with somebody and there's straight sex going on, that also just makes me uncomfortable.
Probably
I don't really want any
mute.
Hardcore sex on when I'm having a conversation with someone.
Yeah. Understood.
All right.
All right. That was
satisfying.
That was satisfying. All right. Yeah. No, I get it. Back to the Eagles over Alaska looking for the salmon. But although I'm trying to think, I have turned the sound down on a little porn and had lengthy conversations.
Wow.
I can. I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Question. Just because I'm learning so much right now. If there were two equal scenes, like two dudes, they're both good looking, they're, you know, the same, whatever. If they were hardcore, intensely and passionately making out, like close up making out kissing, and on the other screen, just kind of checked out anal sex, would either one be more seem more graphic to you than the other?
There's two things.
Gina.
Anal sex always wins the graphic.
Okay.
Prize.
Even if they're they're not really into it. They're just kind of going through the motions.
Well, first off,
get this over with.
I haven't directed a lot of gay porn, but I feel like if these two guys are just going through the motions, someone needs to coach them up. Okay, here's how it works. The more graphic, the more repulsed most straight guys or almost all straight guys are. But when it comes to kissing's very intimate as well. So I would say that the depictions, the graphic depictions of penetration are at the top of the leaderboard, but even two good-looking guys making out still triggers some weird thing in your brain.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
That feels weird and off-putting for guys.
Because I would imagine the anal sex, though it's probably not something you're super used to, could look just sort of clinical, but passionate kissing is passionate kissing.
You'd think there'd be a bigger chasm between those two butt cheeks. There is not. Although, I don't want to speak for the rest of the band, Brian.
It's funny you mention that, because the only time my mind wandered during Rocket Man was when that sex scene, the love scene sort of began, and they're passionately making out, these two dudes. And I started like thinking, I was like, oh, this is whatever. I'm like, must be hard to be an actor. Must be hard to be a guy actor if you're asked to do this. Like, I didn't feel bad for him, of course. I was like, must be difficult. So that, I guess that's a roundabout way of saying I agree with you, which is the anal sex would be much more off-putting, but I'm still a little bumped by the passionate makeout.
I'm saying
nauseous.
You'd think there would be a bigger difference.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the same translation as it is for straight sex. So in straight sex, if your kids were around and you're watching, like, God, what's that stupid Archie's Smallville?
Riverdale?
Riverdale. Like, if you're watching Riverdale and there's a couple of good-looking teenagers and they're making out, like, you'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. and the kids are in the room. They don't have to leave the room or whatever. But if they're having graphic sex, that's a yeah. different situation. The gay kissing for the straight guys versus the graphic gay penetration, there's a difference, but not as big as you think. Mm-hmm. There's something that's hardwired, pardon the pun, into straight dudes about gay lovemaking, which does trigger some things. Like, you guys, like, I'll put it to you this way. Women have a lot of thoughts about pets, cats, and puppies.
And
that,
how?
That guys don't have. We like puppies, but we don't have the feelings. We're not triggered to a lot of the same feelings that women have about
You're
things
right.
like that.
Can I give you an example from 22 minutes ago? I couldn't get through a sentence. I was right before I left to come here, I was telling my boyfriend about a story, and I broke down crying in the middle of it about this Russian sort of street urchin that got captured, a true story, and they trained her. Oh my God, I cried again! And
tell the story.
To like shoot her into space to find out what flesh does, like when you're up in space. Mm-hmm. And she was this hero. Mm-hmm. And you find out at the end it was a dog.
Oh, right. Oh. Right.
Her name was Leica.
It's
devastating.
Whereas guys would be relieved it was a dog, women go deeper.
I lost my mind.
Right. Okay, so you guys, so it's like dogs, sex, sex, but you guys see it through a different prism. Yeah. Different parts of your brain light up when it's something to do with a puppy, something to do with a dog or an animal or whatever. And for us, like, we recognize it, but not so much. Yeah. And that's where we're at with gay sex. We see a different part of our brain lights up. Okay, so anyway, in a world where all we do is bash ourselves, I think the minuscule amount of gay bashing is pretty evolved from this society.
Good job, everyone.
Good job, everybody. All right, let's see. Brian has...
That was a long intro.
Rocket Man, let me hit MVMT over here. Don't choose between overpriced designer sunglasses and cheap shades this summer. MVMT already disrupted the watch industry. Now they're going to do the same with the sunglasses industry. These guys are good. They're good at what they do. Their watches are great. I wear them on stage all the time. I'm telling you guys, when it comes to sunglasses... Treat yourself. Like, I always say, get a good mattress, get a good car, get a good TV set. But I was thinking about when I was driving in, get a good pair of sunglasses. Yes. You see the entire world. No more car wash purchases for your sunglasses. Free shipping and return policy. Try on as many styles as you want right from home. They all come with polarized lenses and or options for polarized lenses for the harsh summer light. Start at just $60. No pairs over $95. Sold over 2.5 million products over 160 countries. You get 15% off. Everything they make is great. So free shipping, free returns at MVMT.com/Adam. Pick out something good and enjoy yourself this summer. All right, Bald, shall we do a little Baldywood? Mm-hmm.
Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen upon the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
What are we reviewing today, Brian?
Today, we're talking about Rocket Man.
Oh.
Rocket Man is in theaters now. It is directed by a man named Dexter Fletcher. You might know Dexter Fletcher. He was the relief pitcher who came on to direct Bohemian Rhapsody after Bryan Singer dropped out.
Oh.
Although Bryan Singer was credited, was the director per DGA rules. Mm-hmm. He being Dexter Fletcher, also directed Eddie the Eagle. Did you guys see Eddie the Eagle?
No.
No, heard it was good.
Sonny would love Eddie the Eagle. Write that one down, because it's in that vein of Disney sports movies like... Miracle or Invincible or Million Dollar Arm. Like, it's one of those right down the middle, satisfying Disney-style sports movies.
Edie Brickell.
That's right, Edie Brickell. That movie, Eddie the Eagle, also starred Taron Egerton, who stars in this movie as Elton Hercules John, a.k.a. Reginald Dwight.
Mm. This guy, English guy?
He's an English guy.
We gotta build that wall, man. There are like too many dudes from coming in, like Idris Elba. There's a lot of names I can't pronounce, a lot of accents I don't approve of, a lot of weird accents. This is Hey, man. Chuck Heston, man.
That's right.
That was a goddamn name. John Wayne.
Taron isn't even a name. If it is, it's a girl's name.
Yeah. What's going on here? They're taking roles away from Americans.
Yeah, good jobs.
That's right.
Those are jobs Americans will do. We will star in vehicles.
The funny thing is, Taron Egerton is super white. Have you seen Kingsman?
Yeah.
Kingsman. He was King. He was Eggsy. He was the main.
Is he English?
Yeah, he's a British guy. Yeah.
Well, that's...
It's all right, I guess.
Build that wall.
Also, Jamie Bell is Bernie Taupin. Richard Madden is John Reed. John Reed was also depicted in Bohemian Rhapsody. He was Queen's manager. So he's the manager of both. Bryce Dallas Howard as Elton's mother. American, playing a British.
Finally.
There we go.
So we've talked about the movie for a long time. A lot of red flags, right? This was the same director as Bohemian Rhapsody, which I put on par with a lot of TV movies. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge fan. Mm-hmm. At one point, Gina told a story where they were like, the producers were playing clips of the movie instead of the whole movie for exhibitors or something, that they wouldn't show the whole movie. I was like, oh, that's a bad, bad, bad red flag. And then I see 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. This is another movie that everyone's going to love and I'm going to hate. Imagine my surprise when maybe a case of low expectations that wildly exceeded my expectations. I thought I knew what it would be, like, you know, all the tropes and all the cliches and all the everything you expect. It subverted my expectations from the opening scene. Like, the opening scene, I was like, oh boy, here we go. It's going to be Bohemian Rhapsody all over again. Left turn, I didn't see it coming, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And from there were several points during the movie where I'm like, I think I'm watching a great movie. I think this is like a legitimate great movie. I really, really enjoyed it. It's Elton John's story from a young boy, and he becomes, you know, Elton John. He goes from Reginald Dwight to Elton John. He meets Bernie Taupin. They start recording. Here's a clip of their... Well, get the clip ready, because the clip comes from his first performance in America at the Troubadour. Apparently, this is a very well-known performance. He had one hit. Your Song was already out. And so they said, go to America. We know the guy at the Troubadour. He'll set you up. You know, play at the Troubadour. And what this movie did really well... was reintroduce you to, well, me specifically, to Elton John's song. I hate Crocodile Rock. That's just a dumb song. I don't like it. I've heard it too many times. It's not fun anymore. It's not interesting. It's just dumb. And they did so many interesting rearrangements of Elton John's songs that all these old songs that you know like the back of your hand became new. And like, oh, I actually really enjoyed this version of Crocodile Rock from the Troubadour.
I'm strapped in for that.
When rock was young, me and Susie had so much fun, holding hands and skimming stones, had new girl Chevy and a place of my own.
That's the most I've ever enjoyed Crocodile Rock.
That song blows, and this is great.
This is great. And he sings all the songs. Taron Egerton is singing all the songs in the movie.
That was my next question.
It is a tremendous performance, Oscar worthy. He is great. And if you thought Rami Malek was good as Freddie Mercury, Taron Egerton is legitimately great as Elton John. Just the acting and the singing, the performing, it's off the charts good.
Wow.
This is like what happened to Farrah Fawcett, right?
Oh, with the, yeah, when she died a day before, two before Michael Jackson?
No, the day of.
Oh, the same
the morning
day?
Of.
Yeah, I mean, the Rami Malek thing, it was like a big deal, but when 10 years goes by, you're just going to remember this performance, right?
I would imagine so. I worry that there's going to be like voter fatigue with the rock star thing, where it's like, eh, we did the whole Freddie Mercury thing. But this pisses all over that performance.
Really?
Yes, it's amazing.
It pisses all over the movie or even the performance?
I'll back that off a little bit. Pisses all over the movie. Rami Malek's performance was the best part of Bohemian Rhapsody. He was good. He was above average. He wasn't great. He was nowhere near the best of the year, but he was good.
Did he win Best of the Year?
He won Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is amazing. You guys got to see this performance.
Question in terms of red flags. My red flag was how much Elton John has been promoting this movie and how much he seems to like it. And when things are authorized, they tend to back off a little.
That was another red flag that I was so pleasantly surprised by. This movie pulls no punches. Like,
I can't
there
wait.
Is a there's another clip that I didn't send Kaylin, sorry, but there's another clip where it spends a lot of time on Elton's down years. Like in the 80s, it shows him like recording terrible songs and just putting out crap. And even his manager is like, it's middle of the road bullshit. Like, get back in the studio and record some good stuff. And he's drugged out of his mind and firing his manager. And granted, it's produced by Elton John, so it's only going to, you know, pull so many punches. But I was surprised at how self-aware it was. You know what I mean? Of his foibles. And he had some down years for sure.
All right, let's see it. I'm excited.
Let me say a couple more things about it. One thing that I liked about it, that it didn't play it safe. You know what I mean? Like, Bohemian Rhapsody played a lot of things very, you know, right down the
yes.
middle. This one takes a lot of chances. It has a unique voice. The director, like, makes choices that are kind of daring, dare I say, and are actually pay them off. It's a very impressive top-to-bottom movie. I hope most people like it as much as I do. I was several points. I was like, I think this is really, really good.
Well, it's 90 something with the critics and 90 something with the people, I think. So that's low 90s with each. That's a pretty good standard.
And you guys caught a glimpse of it. The costume design, lock in an Oscar nomination right now.
Well, you have to. It's Elton.
It is spectacular. The costume design is great.
All right. Let's bring it home. 91 and with the critics and 87 with the people. It's pretty consistent.
Hooray for Bollywood!
It's a really good movie and very crowd-pleasing, too. It's a rare double hit.
Let's see. I got some interesting movie stuff to talk about as well. I'm going to be in Denver. I'm bringing Sonny with me, so Max Pat will be there.
He's going to pull the balls?
Oh, can he do some live James Woods tweets?
He's probably not allowed in the club on the stage, but...
unless he's performing.
Unless he's performing. Yeah, like a young Eddie Murphy.
Until turn the Jackson 5 away.
So we're going to be out in Denver on the 14th and 15th. And two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And hopefully we'll get to Red Rocks and the Shelby Museum. And everything's turned up Shelby because they just had that Ford v Ferrari trailer pop up as well with Matt Damon and Shelby and Christian Bale and all that. I'll play you a Adam Kroll's Unprepared from where were we at?
This is Brea.
This is Brea. This is Adam Ray pulling it.
Oh, yeah.
God, he got one I remember well. It was cataracts, but I had no... I remember standing up there thinking I have no thoughts about cataracts. I haven't experienced them. My parents never experienced it. And I'm one of the few. I don't think I had any thoughts about it, but I think we formed something. I don't remember what it was, but let's hear it.
Cataracts. Cataracts. Cataracts as, I guess, something I can look forward to getting. I don't know. I hope they fucking invent something other than the thing I used to see my grandpa wear when he'd like leave the optometrist, the super sexy glasses over the glasses look.
Yeah, that's a great look.
They gotta have something better by the time I need the cataract surgery so I don't have my glasses and then the glasses. How about you just spring for some prescription huge glasses? And by the way, you're walking to a van that's going to take you in the senior shuttle back to the home. Are you doing some fucking welding? Like, what's going on with this? How much eye protection do you need? I don't get it. The notion of has anyone had eye surgery?
Or the laser?
I like the part. Yeah, I've had the LASIK surgery, and they always do that thing where they go, now look, we've numbed up your eye. There's not going to be any pain, but there may be some discomfort. And it's like, because you're firing a laser beam into my fucking eye, could that...
Does that have anything to do with it?
That might have something to do. You're doing something that is only performed by Nazi war criminals. It's a Clockwork Orange situation where you're trying to deprogram me here.
Yeah.
I don't. It's weird too. If you ever do the eye test thing where they put you in there and you're like looking through the thing and they're turning it and you're doing like the thumbs up or the thumbs down. I gotta say this. When you go to the eye place, it's the optometrist and the dentist are kind of the same, which is they're trying to sell like the teeth whitening at the dentist. The optometrist is trying to get you into some prescription Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
They have fucking 23-year-old piping hot models on all the cardboard shit, like the super... Can we get something that reflects the fucking clientele in here? Like the old people with the fucking snaggle tooth and the lazy eye. Not the fucking young hot Euro models who, by the way, her eyesight's fine. She's fucking 19.
Yeah. We want to see Walmart, not Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah. Maybe once one of these chicks comes in because an Arab guy detached her retina with his cock when they were over at the Sultan Bernays place with some super vigorous Mentos blowjob action. But don't give me they're in here for the same shit I'm in here for. Be realistic. Show the old fat guy wearing three glasses with the welding shield fucking walking back to the senior shuttle. Not that... And also, by the way, I don't want to go into the dentist's office. You know, the hot chicks getting their teeth whitened and they're doing stuff. And you're looking at it and you're going, Jesus Christ, fucking Cindy Crawford, man. She, next thing you know, you got a boner and they're walking you into the chair.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Or do they?
That was cataracts?
Well done.
That was cataracts.
Tight five on cataracts.
So we'll be, we need a ball boy or ball girl, preferably ball girl, but you never know. We've had some luck with the fellas too. So
you are you kidding me?
Email us at adamcarolla.com. And should we do questions?
Oh, no, sorry. It's, yeah, questions@adamcarolla.com. Email that address.
Oh, email that address if you're in the Denver area and you want to get up on stage and pull out those balls. You know, it's interesting. So they dropped the Ford versus Ferrari trailer. They dropped it during the NBA championship games, finals. They had like a 60-second version that they showed on TV. I think there's maybe a 2-minute and 20-second or something version of it. I don't know. You got the 60-second version of it. There's an interesting thing, which is, the guy who plays Lee Iacocca, you guys
John
know
Bernthal? Bernthal?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. He, first off, if you find John Bernthal, the Punisher, and he's been in a lot of movies.
Sicario, yeah, you might know him from.
Been a lot of movies.
A lot of things.
He is...
Baby Driver.
He is Fred Ward, who is Mike August, who is Katie Lang.
Well.
Like... Fred Ward, if you find, you find John Bernthal at, I don't know what he is now, 36, you find Fred Ward at 36, you will see the same, and you find Mike August at 36, you'll see the same dude. When I first saw John Bernthal, I was like, that's got to be Fred Ward's kid. Fred Ward is 67 or 69 or something. That guy's 35. I was like, this is... this is Fred Ward's kid.
It's not out of the question, given that this movie's going to have a premiere at some point, close to November. You can get August and Bernthal and possibly Fred Ward all in the same room together.
It'd be great.
That's a big party.
So we'll play the 1-minute version of this. I told you guys it's going to be the story about Ken Miles. Mm-hmm. And they got his son in there. They got his wife in there. It's not Ford v. Ferrari. Mm-hmm. It's the Ken Miles story. Play it. A quickie of that.
We have the full one. That's the only one that's online right now.
Oh, the one they aired isn't on. Well, we'll play a minute of the first one, but you guys, I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I have, yeah. It's great.
Look out there. Out there is the perfect line.
It's with his kid.
You see?
I think so.
Most people can't.
Carroll Shelby,
maybe?
Lee Iacocca, Ford Motor.
Suppose Henry Ford II wanted to build the greatest race car the world's ever seen to win the 24 Hours of Le Mans. What's it take?
Well, it takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
What in about speed?
You need a pure racer behind the wheel of your car. That's Ken Miles.
All right. It's the Ken Miles story.
Yeah.
I gave an interview for an online, for Hagerty Auto Insurance. They do like vintage insurance from 2.5 years ago. And they were talking to me about, what were they talking about? The 24-hour war? Probably.
Yeah.
And MaxPad did his due diligence and pulled it out. So from 2 years and whatever, I don't know when I gave this interview.
August 2017.
So 2 years ago, I was being interviewed, and I was like, 24 hours war, but here's what you should be doing, or here's the more interesting story.
Yeah, so they asked you, how do you find your stores and your projects? And then you started with saying, when we started making the 24-hour war, I hadn't known as much about the Ken Miles story as I probably should have. That part to me was eye-opening. Miles was such a gentleman, and he was so mild-mannered. He's going to be the first guy to win the Triple Crown of Daytona, Sebring, and Le Mans, and basically just got gypped out of his Le Mans win, only to die tragically in testing some months later. And all of this has just been kind of lost to the dustbin of history. It's so sad that most people, even gearheads and people that are into the hobby, don't even know who Ken Miles was.
And Bale said, challenge accepted.
Yeah. So it's weird how you can tap into things. Like I said, this Ken Miles story is such a great story. And then I heard they were going to do Ford versus Ferrari, but then didn't feel like the Ken Miles story. And now they're doing the Ken Miles story.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting. I was watching the trailer, and they were all
great trailer.
Filming everything was at Willow Springs, where we run all the time. That big deserty track out there.
James Mangold behind the camera
hasn't changed a thing. It did bump me, which is they're going the wrong direction at Willow Springs. But other than that, oh, Dan Gurney's son is playing Dan Gurney.
How about that?
Yeah, Dan Gurney was a really good looking, really tall race car driver, and it'd be hard to find that guy. But sort of like what's his name in The Sopranos?
Yep, they're doing
right?
that with Tony, with so little Tony.
Tony.
All right, so I'll keep you guys posted, but it'll be interesting as we get closer. And then for us, we'll have our Shelby Doc, and you guys can go watch the 24-hour war again if you like, and we'll cover all of this in it.
Ice Cube's son played him in Seattle
Compton. That's right. O'Shea Jackson.
Junior.
Yeah, thanks.
Was he in Godzilla as well, or is that somebody
you tell me?
Seemed like, well, he looked like O'Shea Jackson.
I think
Jr.
he is.
It looked like him. All right, what
he
should we do?
It.
He is. Yeah. Should we take a quick break? Come back with the news.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We're looking at Fred Ward and John Bernthal. I was like, that guy's his son. He's his son. Yeah. What's Fred Ward? 70? This guy's 36. Like, I'm like, he's got to be his son. They look exactly the same. Like, the same nose
and
eyes
and
mouth. Like, they have the same everything. Ward is 76. Bernthal's 42. Like, it'd be perfect. He had him when he was 34 years old, right?
Easy.
No relationship, I guess. Anyway.
That movie's going to come out next year.
Fred Ward. All right.
So this is a little breaking today. The AP reports that the former Florida deputy who failed to confront a gunman during last year's Parkland School massacre was arrested Tuesday on 11 criminal charges related to his actions. This is what the prosecutors announced. So Broward State Attorney Mike Satz said in a statement that the 56-year-old Scott Peterson, different Scott Peterson, faces child neglect, culpable negligence, and perjury charges that carry a combined potential prison sentence of 100 years. Peterson, then a Broward deputy, was on duty as the school resource officer during that February 2018 shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, but never went inside while bullets were flying. 17 people died. 17 were wounded. Peterson's bail set to $102,000, apparently. And once released, he'll be wearing a GPS monitor, surrender his passport. He'll be prohibited from possessing a firearm. So his story kind of got lost in the shuffle. It had been talked about, and now it's back.
Well, good. I'm not normally like, I get cops, and it's dangerous, and everyone's freaked out, and everyone's sort of plan is to stay put till the backup arrives. But look, if you're a cop and you're on a campus and that's kind of your job, you have nothing to do for 15 years and you just get paid every single day. You know, it's like, I think there's other jobs.
Occasionally break up a fight.
But I mean, it's like, if you have a job and your job's roofer or your job's drive for UPS or gay porn, the aforementioned, you got to go to work every day. You just got to roof every day. But it's like,
you bust your ass.
This is a kind of a job. This job is like, you know what? You're going to get paid full fare. And your job is to watch the UPS truck. You just watch it. Just make sure nothing happens to the UPS truck.
Make sure it comes around every day.
And you can put together 44 years of watching a UPS truck and no one could ever try to steal it. Mm-hmm. And you just get your watch, your gold-plated watch, and go home. But here's the deal. If the shit goes down, you're going to get paid for days and days and weeks and years of not doing anything. Just literally just walking around. But if the shit goes down, you are going to go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to be, well, the guy who was watching the UPS truck had to get up and shoo the birds away from it. Right. No, no, bullets are going to be flying. But that's part of the deal.
That's
part
the
of
risk.
The deal is it's going to happen and you need to enter the fray. And it's going to go against every bit of your fiber and your being. As a matter of fact, you know what they should do? Mm-hmm. They should hire these guys, put them outside the hall, give it like 3 weeks, and at some point get in there with a bunch of blanks and just stand somewhere and start firing at them, people screaming.
Yeah.
And if those guys do a shoulder roll and hide behind the dumpster,
you're out.
Yeah.
You're out.
It's good.
It's not exactly a rich man, poor man, but the only other job I can think of that seems like that is anesthesiologist.
Mm-hmm.
You chill for a few hours while somebody sleeps, and God forbid nothing goes wrong, and you go home. But somebody could stop breathing.
There's a little monitoring, but yeah. So look, I don't like this world, but this guy needed to rush in and disrupt things.
Right.
He needed guns a-blazing, and the fact that he didn't, there's a manslaughter aspect to this.
Of almost 100 years, so we'll see what happens. I actually didn't realize this. I do have a lot of court news today. Kevin Spacey made a surprise court appearance Monday as his lawyer tried to get his groping case thrown out. The actor is accused of inappropriately touching an 18-year-old.
He had a walk-on
under five. 3 years ago in Nantucket, this is him walking into the courtroom, his attorney, Alan Jackson, requested a complete and unaltered copy from the accuser's cell phone, which
strikes me, my entire childhood, I never saw anyone drinking coffee outside of their kitchen. Like, when you were a kid, people drank coffee at the breakfast table, and then they had to go to work.
Yeah, maybe at the desk, work.
It's like, put that cup down and leave. Now, everyone is walking in and out of court. Everyone who's filmed walking down the street, everyone has a coffee in their hand, and it's bizarre because it's a little intimate. Like, when I was a kid, you're in your bathrobe, you're sitting at the table, the kids, the husband, or whatever, you're drinking the coffee. And then the guy would do that move that they did in all those 70s and 80s movies where he was, like, drinking his coffee and the horn would honk outside and he'd go, he'd make that noise. He'd, like, take one last sip and he'd set it down or he'd hand it to his wife and then he'd go rushing out the door.
He'd crane his neck a little bit.
Yeah, there was no way to transport the coffee outside of the house.
How can we do that?
And also, what do you need your coffee for? You're inside of the house. It's just ubiquitous. He's probably walking. These guys will walk in the courtroom at noon, at 4 in the afternoon, at 10 a.m. It's just coffee, coffee, coffee.
Yep. I also noticed that, and this might be a little bit of the opposite of what you're saying because it is intimate, but I thought, is that coffee in his hand to make him look casual? Because he looks very casual, breezing in with his cup of coffee.
Yeah. I don't know. I think everyone gets them, and then everyone who picks him up already stopped by Starbucks before they picked him up.
Got him his double foam latte.
But anyway.
So
he's groping?
Yeah, they want that cell phone from the accuser, which he says has texts referring to the young man's frat boy activities and other potential evidence. Jackson, the lawyer.
What percentage of groping is outside of clothing? Is it
most
all of it?
Most, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if the clothes are off, if the clothes are off, that reveals some kind of cooperation, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Usually consensual.
Usually, yeah, exactly. If it's got to that point, usually.
Mm-hmm. Gone right.
bro.
That's exactly right.
So they're also, they said the teen and his mother, who's a former Boston TV anchor, Heather Unruh, erased the text before handing the phone over to police. In January, Spacey pleaded not guilty to a charge of the incident of assault and battery. Next hearing, July 8th. Spacey has skipped most of the hearings, but he came out today, wanted to show his face.
You know, the thing about the difference between sort of athletes and actors is we don't really need actors. Like, we can make movies without Kevin Spacey. We can make them
without people.
We can make them without people. We like do anything we want. If LeBron James is 24 and gets embroiled in whatever, we got to get it fixed fast because he's got to get back out there because there's only so many of him.
Right.
It's kind of a Michael Jackson thing. Like, actors are like, you know, I like Kevin Spacey. Yeah. I thought he was a talented actor. It's not going to affect my movie-going schedule.
Yeah. Get another Kevin Spacey type.
Yeah. You want a job. Mm. Here's where you want it. You want a job. Like, if you're going to be groping, you want a job that's really low down the totem pole, like long-haul truck driver where no one really cares. Right. Like, he was busted for groping. That's a plus.
Yeah, I was gonna
get him in that cap.
That's it?
Right. There's that. Or you want to be your kind of LeBron James thing where it's like, hey, man, you're not going to miss a lot of games because we can't afford to have you sitting out three seasons.
So here's six figures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's stick with the court desk for a little bit because Leslie Van Houten, who was a Charles Manson follower.
I think she's a Houghton.
Is it Houghton? Okay. Convicted in the 1969 killing spree, was denied parole for the third time in 3 years on Monday. This is you can thank Newsom for that, by the way. California board in January recommended parole for Van Houten, but Newsom, California Governor Gavin Newsom, he denied it.
She was one of the ones who did the killing.
Yeah,
right?
I have a clip, and she'll tell you all about it. She's 69 now. She was 19 when she met Manson, became part of the cult. So August 10th, 1969, she and other members of the Manson family, they stabbed Leno and Rosemary LaBianca to death in their home in L.A., and she was arrested that November. Van Houten was sentenced to death in 71, but 1 year later, the death penalty was overturned, so it didn't end up mattering. This is an interview, I think, from 1994 with Larry King, and here she's describing the actual stabbing of Rosemary LaBianca.
Was she killed eventually?
She was stabbed. I went and I called Tex, and I said that we weren't able to kill her. And then Tex went in the bedroom, and Patton went into the living room, and I went and I stood in the hallway. And then Tex turned me around, and he handed me a knife, and he said, "Do something." And so I went in, and Mrs. LaBianca was laying on the floor, and I stabbed her.
Where?
In the lower back.
Delightful.
Yeah.
So first things.
She'll be awarded.
We had the death penalty. She got it, and then we turned it over, but she's grandfathered in. Yeah.
That was what I was thinking, too.
So, number one, just kill him. Okay. You think it's a good idea? Kill him. Tex Watkins, or Watson?
Watson.
Tex Watson has had four kids from prison.
So damn impressive.
That delightful man has sired four.
One of them, John Bernthal.
Had multiple kids from the joint after this.
Manson got married.
Yeah, just start killing people. I don't know. She probably found Jesus Christ and blah, blah, blah.
They said she's become this self-help guru. She earned a bachelor's degree, all this stuff. And to Gavin Newsom's credit, he said, good, we'll keep it staying there.
What? Yeah. Just because I hate Gavin Newsom, I think his figuring is this would look horrible for him to let
optics.
Out, especially with this movie coming out about now.
Yeah.
She was at the
good
premiere.
Publicity.
She was at the Burbank.
Doing the step and repeat?
Yeah, doing the step and repeat. Yeah, Tex had like four kids.
Ugh.
Ugh. Also, the LaBiancas are weird because I always feel it's so weird with like Abigail Folger and people like that. First off, anyone who gets killed as an heir to the whatever throne, you know, the Folger front, like, oh man, that was a rich young chick. Also, Abigail Folger is probably 27, you know, just young. And she's just randomly like partying with people when the shit goes down. And then the LaBiancas.
They're grocers.
Yeah. I don't think they had anything to do with anything. That was just part of the race war.
Yeah. Well, they kind of just, they staked them out in the hills.
Yeah, but they're just trying to get the race war going. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't it's not, it didn't seem to be exceedingly rich, like not wealthy. Well,
no, they were well-to-do, and they lived, you know, in the hills or whatever.
Yeah, so it just seemed very random to go in there and kill that group.
That is the under, you mentioned it, but it's the under report, not reported people. It's been lost to history a little bit that Charles Manson was insane, but he was just a racist. Like, he wanted to he wanted to make it seem as though black people had done this, and so there'd be a race war, and the black people would kill, in his mind.
And they'd hide out in the desert.
Exactly. The black people would kill all the white people, and then when they were the only ones left, the black people, they wouldn't be competent enough to rule the world, and thus Charles Manson and his cult would take over. That was his master plan, what the Beatles told him to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, he never actually went to either one of the murder sites,
That was why it was a groundbreaking case. They charged him for murder, but he didn't have a weapon. He wasn't to the site.
Yeah, charisma to the first degree. Got a bunch of hot 19-year-olds killing for you?
Guilty of cult of personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I was 23 and I told a hot 19-year-old, as long as you got the fridge open, could you get me a Ducati? They'd go, get it yourself. Yeah. But if I said stab a stranger to death, they'd be, fuck you.
Multiple strangers.
Yeah,
and
I don't think
baby.
They were falling for that.
I don't think I could have.
A young Adam.
I didn't have that kind of charisma.
Yeah.
Also, I always joke, but it had to be true. Like, it's free love. They're living at Spahn Ranch. There's a new train load of fresh 19-year-old hot runaways willing to do anything for you. Obviously, they're doing anything for you. They're going up and killing random people. And they must be having just crazed 70s orgies over there, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like sex. It's like a new batch, a new harem rolls off the bus like every Wednesday, and you get to have sex with them in your Western town that you're living in for free. There had to be a third horny Manson family member, dude. Like, we know Tex, and we know Charlie, but there had to be Chad, like a third one.
Chad Manson?
Chad. Well, family member.
Yeah.
And then, like,
they all
Chad,
adopted the name.
And they get around a campfire one night, and, like, look, Charlie's like, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to get texts. We're going to get the girls. We're going to go up in the hills. And I'm like, hold on. I was getting a blowjob. What were you saying? We said, we're going up in the hills. We're going to stab
people.
We're
going to slaughter all the piggies. We're going to start a race war.
Are we out of runaways to bang?
No, they're the ones that are going to do the killings. Well, our hands are clean.
Hold on. Charles, look, you know I love your music.
Damn right.
We get to bang fresh runaways.
And how?
Every single Wednesday when a new bumper crop of them is dropped off on this. We get to live on a ranch for free.
It's hard to keep up.
We have sex for free. Every once in a while, we send the chicks down to the Gelsons to rob it and bring us home some food. But that's up. If you send them up the hills to stab everybody,
be perfect. That's what you're about to say? I bet you're about to say.
Are you done being blown?
Far from it. It's Wednesday, after all.
I'm saying, as Chad Manson, we got a pretty good thing going here. We're living rent-free. We're banging groupie runaways that are 19 and eager to please. I know they'll do anything because they'll go up to the hills and stab strangers. Why don't we just ride this wave a little longer?
Chad, I appreciate your perspective as much as I appreciate you taking my last name. We're going to order these girls to kill.
Okay.
How else would we know that they love us?
How long are we going to live at this? Yeah, sorry.
Charles, I'm
sorry. Sorry, runaway.
I just got here. I just want to know if you needed anything, and I mean anything.
Well, did you see what I'm talking about?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I'm not thinking.
On three, let's tell her what we want.
All right.
One, two, three. Rituals to killings.
Okay, I'll go get my knife.
No, we're going to get the fuzz down on us, man. We're smoking, reavering, and blown right now.
How else would we know that they love us aside from the constant blowjobs?
Well, that's a tell.
I mean, it's an indicator. I wouldn't say it's ironclad.
All right.
That's good.
There had to be some of those conversations, right?
Some cool-headed member. Yeah.
All right.
The level-headed Manson family member.
Let's do another.
Dennis
Hopper.
No, the Beach Boy. Dennis Wilson.
I'm
out of here.
Right.
All right. Well, lastly, from the court desk, the State Bar of California filed to place attorney
Kim.
Michael Avenatti on involuntary inactive status on Monday. What does that mean? Well, apparently that's the first move when you're trying to disbar somebody. The filing comes after Avenatti was indicted on 36 counts by a federal jury in California. The charges included embezzlement, wire fraud, tax evasion, bankruptcy fraud, bank fraud, connected to his alleged theft of tens of millions of dollars from clients. And meanwhile, in New York, Avenatti is accused of attempting to extort more than $20 million from Nike and stealing about $300,000 from a book advance from Stormy Daniels.
Speaking of Gergis, I was walking Phil yesterday. I saw Paulette Gergis, who just, she's a satellite that circumnavigates the neighborhood on foot all day, every day. And you take a walk around my neighborhood, you'll run into Mark's wife. Boy, you want to talk about, you want to talk about someone I could hang with. She's walking down the street. It's just a side street. She's walking toward me. She has in her hand a piece of foam, small piece of foam, looks like it's been soaked in oil, and then a piece of like napkin or paper towel or something. Like, we're talking about trash, but we're not talking about aluminum can that was empty. We're talking about sort of dirty, dirty trash. You know, there's that kind of street trash that's like a weird straw that's been in someone's mouth.
I would tell Tessa not to touch it.
Right. She has both pieces of trash in her hand. She is a mile away from her house. And I go, what do you got there? And she's like, oh, I hate it when people litter.
Wow.
And there's no trash can in sight either. It's not
she's
trash day. There's
nothing.
She's taking a walk, and as she walks, she's going pure catfish, just picking up stuff from the ground, holding it in her hands, and walk, not with like a napkin around it. She doesn't have a Ziploc bag. She's just holding it in her hand, and she's going to walk another half mile until she comes upon a trash can.
That's
and
awesome.
I thought, I love that woman.
Wow.
That's all. By the way, in the department of all you need to know, that's all it. You need to know. That is all you need to know.
It's an indicator.
All right, let me hit Tommy John, then we'll hit one more. All you need to know is Tommy John, man. Let's go. Father's Day's around the corner. And you get, what about your husband? And what about the brother? What about all the men in your life? Lightweight, breathable underwear with limited edition outdoorsy prints. Perfect for that outdoorsy look or hunting in your underpants. The ultimate prey. Plus, exclusive Father's Day gift sets featuring longwear apparel and additional underwear styles. Legs never ride up. Waistbands never roll down. The stuff is the best. It's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get those gift sets early. Limited edition collections will sell out. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order to find out how you can get free expedited shipping and guaranteed Father's Day delivery on orders placed by June 12th. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, here's the death of reboots that nobody asked for. Deadline reports that another classic sitcom is eyeing a return with its original star. UCP is developing Punky Brewster, sequel.
What is UCP?
Universal.
Oh.
They are wanting to reboot Punky Brewster. That was from 1984.
With Soleil Moon Frye?
Sitcom, hold on. With Soleil Moon Frye set to reprise her role as Punky.
I think it was my first crush.
Yeah, it was most was like boys' seven. First crush. The original multi-camera series centered on a little young Punky who was raised by her foster dad. And in the reboot, she is now a single mother of three, trying to get her life back on track when she meets a young girl who reminds her a lot of a young Punky.
Jesus.
Don't know that we need to redo everything all the time. But there is value in a name. And that's kind of where we're at. And I don't want to be a hypocrite, because in the world of like automotive, like when Bugatti goes away for a couple of decades and then Bugatti comes back with a supercar, I'm like, oh, I like that there's a Bugatti, a modern day. I like that my son knows what a Bugatti is. Triumph kind of does that with motorcycles. They get back with their heritage and whatever.
I was going to say there's heritage there.
Yeah, I've deemed that as healthy, but somehow this is artistic, so I've deemed it as lazy.
Well, it also seems like, who are the kids that were super into Punky Brewster who now have kids? So who's this going to be nostalgic for, and they can indoctrinate the new generation?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look forward to that.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars in your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. That's geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket. That's Geico. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico, geico.com. All right, we got a little snippet to play you from when Lisa Lampanelli. How long is this thing, Max Pata?
It's like 48 seconds.
Join Lisa each week as she sits down with a guest, co-host to solve their problems and some of her own. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. So here's a clip of Lisa on the show last week.
I've had people who I've lent a lot of money to and who owe me multiple thousands of dollars for multiple different projects along the way call me cheap or tight-fisted or whatever. And I've like said to them,
oh my God.
Wow, I can't believe you want to go to this place where I'm going to start bringing up all the money I've lent you and all the things I've done on your house and all the things that I've paid for with your kid or whatever it is. Why would you even unearth that?
Yeah.
Why would you rip the top off that yogurt?
It's almost they feel so bad and they need to absolve themselves of some of that they've got to have you yell at them for it because they know they're wrong. So it's almost like, by the way, why are you lending out all that money? Like, I literally have been in the comedy business. I made pretty good money as a comic. I give a friend of mine a lot of money because she's disabled and she lost her disability insurance. Anybody else can go fry ice. I am not giving these people money. I don't know anybody. I mean, I'll buy things. I'm generous with my nieces and nephews and family. These other jerks, let them pay for the house. I pay for my house and my plumber who comes in and he does a slow jog. You kidding me? All Lisa right. Lampanelli needs money.
And next up, the very funny Sklar Brothers.